Do you remember last week, Pastor Stuart told you a story, and it was about a walk. He'd been on a walk, and somebody got their wellies stuck, didn't they, in the mud, and he asked for witnesses. He said, who saw that happen? And he got everybody to stand up. Do you remember that? And we saw in the room lots of different people who had seen that happen. So we knew it was true. We had proof. We had evidence. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. Anybody got any Easter eggs left? Anybody got any Easter eggs left? Some of you have got some Easter eggs left. I want you to imagine you've just got one Easter egg left in the cupboard. And you've had so many Easter eggs, your mum says to you, you're not allowed that last Easter egg just yet, okay? You've got to leave it in the cupboard for another day, alright? But, when your mum wasn't in the room, you went into the cupboard, you took the Easter egg, you went to your room, you gobbled it all up, and then you hid in your bedroom, alright? I want you to imagine, you wouldn't do that, would you?
No.
I want you to imagine that you'd done that, okay? And then, your mum is in the kitchen, and she goes in the cupboard, and she sees an empty box. And all of your brothers and sisters, well, they're out. There was only you at home, there's only you and your mum, and your mum knows it wasn't her who ate the Easter egg. So she starts looking for you. And she comes up to your room, and she finds you with chocolate all over your face. And chocolate on your fingers, so your chocolatey fingerprints are everywhere. And under your bed, screwed up in a ball, is the foil wrapper from the Easter egg. Who done it? Who took the Easter egg? It's not hard to know. The evidence, the proof, would say that it was you. It was you who did it. Anybody know where have I put it? Can't even find it. I need my magnifying glass to find my magnifying glass. Anybody know what this is?
Magnifying.
A magnifying glass. Well done. Brilliant. Wow. Apart from people who haven't got very good eyesight, who might use a magnifying glass? Louisa, do you know? Who might use a detective? Brilliant answer. Someone who's looking for clues and looking at evidence might use a magnifying glass to help them see more clearly. Boys and girls, today we're going to be looking for clues and looking at the evidence that says that Jesus Christ really died and rose from the dead. So, will you help me? Will you help me with my investigation? Will you help me be detectives this morning? And we're going to look at some clues together. So if you go back to your seats, we're going to look at the first clue together. Go back to your seats, that would be great. You know, there is so much evidence to say that Jesus was alive after the crucifixion. There's so much evidence to say that he was alive that some people have said he can't have really died. The reason so many people saw him alive after the crucifixion was because Jesus didn't really die. So that's where we really need to start. We need to look at the evidence. So boys and girls, I want you to get your pretend magnifying glasses at the ready. We're going to read from somebody who was there the day Jesus died. So you can follow the Bible reading on the screen, or there's a Bible in front of you. And if you wanted to pick a Bible up, you can read the words of a man called John. And John was there, and he wrote down what he saw. And it's John chapter 19, verses 28 to 38. Let me read those words for you. So after this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a sword, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission, so he came and took away his body. So they were the words of someone who was there. Do you remember on the walk, Stuart asked for people who were there. He asked for people who saw it happen. There was a man called John who was there the day Jesus died. And John said, "I saw Jesus die." So remember the question I asked a few minutes ago, did Jesus really die? Some people say, because there's so much evidence for Jesus being alive after the crucifixion, that some people say Jesus didn't really die. I'm going to show you this morning, I'm going to prove to you, show you some evidence that says Jesus really did die. Here's the first proof. Jesus was killed by experts. Jesus was killed by the Roman soldiers who were trained and they were experienced in crucifying. Crucifying people was a horrible way to die, but they knew what they were doing. And the gospel writers say there were soldiers who did this. It wasn't just one soldier, there were soldiers, they were working as a team. These soldiers knew just what they were doing. They were professionals. Jesus was killed by experts. Do you know that Jesus was pronounced dead at the scene, overseeing all of those soldiers? Overseeing the execution was a centurion. We read of him a number of times in the gospel accounts. He had to go to Pilate to declare that Jesus had died. The boss, the one who was looking after proceedings that day, made sure that Jesus was dead. He wasn't going to go to Pilate and say he was dead if he wasn't dead. Okay, so Jesus was pronounced dead at the scene. Here's the third reason, the third proof we can know that Jesus really died, is because the soldiers double-checked. This is a real cruel thing to have read, but this is what really happened. What they would do, if the prisoners on the cross hadn't died, what they would do, they would break their legs, and that would mean they would die more quickly. But when they came to Jesus, they found that he was already dead. And that was something of a surprise to the soldiers. They didn't expect to find him dead so quickly. So what they did, they took a spear, and Jesus was hanging up on the cross, and they pierced the side of Jesus. And John said, because he saw it happen, that blood and water came from the side of Jesus. So the soldiers double checked that Jesus had died. Now, we read in John's Gospel that after Jesus had died, before he was put in the tomb, it was kind of like a cave in the mountainside, before Jesus was put in there, they covered him in burial oil. It was like a thick, sticky glue. Okay? A thick, sticky glue. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 39, we find out how much of that stuff they put on Jesus, alright? It amounts to 24 kilograms, okay? Anybody ever held a bag of sugar? A bag of sugar is 1 kilogram. Do you think you could lift 24 bags of sugar? Okay, that would take some doing. You need to be really, really strong to do that. But Jesus was caked, covered from head to toe in this gloopy, sticky burial oil. And then they wrapped him in cloths. If Jesus had somehow survived the cross, he wouldn't have survived the burial process. And here's the last proof I'd like you to consider is this. The disciples believed that Jesus was dead. Do you remember Thomas? Nobody needed to convince Thomas that Jesus was dead. They needed to convince Thomas that Jesus was alive. But the one thing he and the other disciples really truly believed was that Jesus had died. They were fearful. They were in hiding because they thought that they were going to be killed too. Can you see that the evidence, the proof is pointing to the fact that Jesus really did die? And you know, that shouldn't be a surprise to us really, because all through Jesus' life he was saying, that's why I've come. I've come to die. I've come to give my life as a ransom for many. Do you remember what he said about himself? The Son of Man must die. It must happen. So dying for Jesus was all part of God's plan to rescue sinful people. In fact, dying was the only way. The Bible says the wages, the payment for sin is death. And Jesus came from heaven to earth to pay that price. And that price was dying. So he had to actually die. Boys and girls, so I don't know if you ever go to the shop and you've got 80 pence and you want to buy a packet of sweets that's a pound. Okay? Is the shopkeeper going to let you have those sweets for 80 pence? Maybe a super kind shopkeeper would. But not usually. Normally you have to go to Mum or Dad, can I have another 20p so I can pay in full? It was no good Jesus nearly dying. Jesus had to really, truly, actually die to pay the price of our sin. And you know, though the things we've been thinking about this morning are quite sad in some ways, the fact that Jesus really did die is the best news for people like us, sinful people who will one day die. It really is good news because Jesus came to die in our place, to pay the price that we couldn't pay. So actually, these sad things are actually really good news for people like us. Jesus really did die. But if he really did die, how can we explain all the evidence that says he was alive after his crucifixion? Well, we're going to think about that in a moment. So I'm going to ask you to turn to your Bibles. I'm going to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 23. I'm going to read something from the resurrection story. So it's Luke chapter 23 and verse 50. That's page 884 if you're using the Bibles. So there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man,
who had not consented to their decision and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointment. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. You know, some people say that Jesus didn't really die, but we've shown from the evidence that exists in history that he did die. So some will admit, therefore, that yes, Jesus did die. The evidence is there to say so. But they don't believe that rising from the dead is possible. So they come up with other reasons to explain the empty tomb. They come up with other reasons to explain these resurrection stories. And we're just going to think about some of those this morning. So for some people, It's the wrong address theory. They say the reason the tomb was empty was because those women went to the wrong tomb. Just want us to think about that for a moment. We've just read that the tomb belonged to a guy called Joseph of Arimathea. We read he was a prominent man. He was well known. Since I've lived in Southport, a number of people have pointed out to me homes where ex-footballers live, or so-and-so lives in that house, so-and-so lives in that house. Prominence, fame brings knowledge. People would have known this man, would have known where he lived and known where his tomb was. So Jesus was not buried in like a graveyard that we know. It was a private tomb. It had an address. It had a postcode. So I don't think they would have got that wrong. The second reason we can know that they didn't go to the wrong tomb is because we just read they saw Jesus being buried. They followed Joseph of Arimathea to the tomb. And in one of the other Gospels, we read that the women sat and watched all of these things happening. They can't have gone to the wrong tomb. And furthermore, if the ladies got it wrong, then the angels got it wrong as well, and I don't think that's much of a possibility. So for some people, they try and explain the resurrection stories by claiming they went to the wrong address. But for others, they say, no, it wasn't that. It was that the reason the tomb was empty was because the disciples stole the body. Now, boys and girls, I need a little bit of help with this one. Will, you're pretty strong, aren't you? Yeah. Come and join me. Can you help me push this wall down? Should we give it a go? I think the both of us, do you think we can do it? You've been doing some running, haven't you? You've been doing some training? Okay, let's give it a go. After three. One, two, three, go! Is it budging? No. Any cracks? Thank you for your help anyway. It's not budging, is it? In front of the tomb of Jesus, they put a stone, which may have been over a ton in weight. Do you remember, as the women went to the tomb on that Sunday morning, that was the question they were asking. Who's going to move the stone? It's too heavy. It's too big. It was a great question to ask because they couldn't have done it. we read that the stone was, in some of the old hymns, we talked about the stone being rolled away. The description of the gospel, it was blown away. It had been thrown away. Hadn't kind of been nudged to the side. Something significant had happened there. The disciples couldn't have stolen the body. They couldn't have moved that huge stone. They didn't have the strength or the will to do it. We also read, though, that the stone had a seal on it. Two kinds of seals in mind here. Think of a governor's official seal, a stamp. Anybody who broke the seal would be punished. Some other people think that it might have been a physical seal, like a cement or reinforced in some way, just to make sure the disciples couldn't steal the body. But it was sealed in some way. Again, I don't think the disciples had the will to do that, to break any kind of seal, whatever seal it was. We read that the disciples were in hiding. And the other thing that really, really destroys this theory is that there was an armed guard on the tomb. Think of soldiers with swords guarding the tomb. The disciples weren't up for a fight, were they? They weren't up for a fight. They were in hiding. They were behind locked doors. Fishermen, accountants, they're not going to take on, they're not fighters, are they? They're not going to be taking on a Roman army. So, I don't think the evidence is there to say that the disciples stole the body. Okay, what about this theory? They made it all up theory. So the reason there's so many stories about the resurrection is because the disciples made up the stories. They made up things that weren't true. But there's a number of things that help us to see that that wasn't true, that they hadn't made it up. And one of the reasons we can know that is because in the gospel account, they use the evidence of women. Now to us that seems a strange thing to be saying, but back in the day, women's evidence was not permissible in a court of law. So if you were going to make up a story, you wouldn't have women as the first eyewitnesses of the resurrection. You wouldn't do that if you were making this up. Why did the gospel writers have the women as the first witnesses of the resurrection? Because they were the first witnesses. Because it's true. Think about their motive. Why would they tell lies? If they said that Jesus has risen, he's the only king, that's something that could cost them their lives. Would they be prepared to die for a lie? I don't think so. And if the disciples had made up the story that Jesus had risen when he hadn't risen, surely the authorities could have produced the body and said, here it is. They could have dispelled the story straight away. And here's the final theory, the imagination theory. Some people say the disciples just imagined it. They hallucinated. They saw things that weren't really true, that weren't real. So a number of years ago, we bought a pack of ice lollies. You ever had one of those packs of ice lollies? Got rocket lollies and orange lollies and lemonade lollies. And one day, one summer, we sat on the table, had a lemonade lolly, and I said, oh, these are amazing. I've never had one of these before. And both Rachel and Claire and Emma said, yes, you have. We saw you have one the other day. And then Claire reminded me of this very point. Mass hallucinations don't happen. There are so many people, there is so much evidence from eyewitnesses who saw Jesus alive after the crucifixion. We can know that this wasn't imaginary. In one case, 500 people saw Jesus at the same time. 500 people. And when Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, he said, if you don't believe me, go and ask them, because they're still alive. They're still alive. There are people still alive at that time who had seen the risen Jesus. I'm not sure. Go and ask them. So there have been multiple sightings of Jesus. And because of that, we can be sure that Jesus really did rise from the dead. There's a guy called Frank Morrison, you might have read this book. This book is still available. He was a lawyer. He took 3 years out of his law practice to try and disprove the resurrection. But as others have done as well, he ended up writing a book to the contrary, proving that Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. Okay, last bit. Does it matter? Does it matter? Some people say when you're dead, you're dead. Some people say there's no proof of life after death. The historical evidence of Jesus rising from the dead dispels both of those assumptions. When you're dead, you're dead. And there's no proof that there's life after death. Actually, in the life and story of Jesus, there's proof, there's evidence that there really is life after death. Do you know that's not only true news? It's good news. It's the best news for people like us. Let me just give you this quote from C.S. Lewis, because it really helps us to understand. If the things we've been considering this morning are true, then it can't be slightly or moderately important. C.S. Lewis said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. We might as well just go home. And if true, it's of infinite importance. The only thing that it cannot be is moderately important. So as we close, I just want us to think about why this matters so much. Why does the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ matter so much? Here's why it matters. It matters because of my sin. It matters because of this problem that I have with God. This thing which separates me from an awesomely holy and good God. I need a solution for my sin. I haven't got it in myself. Religion can't give me that solution. The only solution for my sin is found in a Savior who was willing to pay the price that I should have paid. And Jesus came to pay that price. That's why this matters. That's why this is good news. Let me tell you why else this matters. It not only matters because of my sin, it matters because one day I will die. Do you have an answer to death? Jesus Christ said about himself, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die. Do you hear what he's saying? I have the power to give to anyone who believes in me eternal life. The same power that was displayed in me, says Jesus, rising from the dead, can be displayed in you through belief in me. Whoever believes in me, said Jesus, will live even though they die. It matters because of my sin. I need a solution to my sin. It matters because I will one day die. I need an answer, a solution. I need hope in my death. And it matters because of God's judgment. God will judge this world and will judge sinful people for their sin. I need a rescuer. I need a Savior for that. And that Savior, that rescuer, is only found in Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you this morning to believe in fairy stories. I'm not asking you to believe in folklore. I'm not asking you to believe in fantasy. I'm asking you to look at the living proof for the resurrection of the dead, seen and demonstrated in the life and history of Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, I just want to give you a memory verse, not to learn, but can I just share it with you? It's so, so important that we don't hear these things and say, yeah, okay, good service this morning, and walk away. Here's where it becomes real. If you, remember Jesus, whoever believes in me, if you confess with your mouth, if you believe in your heart that God raised him, Jesus, from the dead, you will be saved. Here is a promise from the infinitely powerful, intimately loving God. To anybody here this morning who has never put their faith in Jesus Christ, who doesn't have their sins forgiven, who does not have hope beyond the grave, here is a promise to you. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you ask Jesus to forgive your sin, if you own him as your Lord and Savior, if you bow your knee to him, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There are many people in this room who have done just that and have a hope in life and have a hope in death. Friends, if I've said anything this morning that's not been clear, anything you've got questions about, you'd like me to give you a booklet that could help you a little bit further with these things, I would be so happy to do that today or some other time. Myself or Rach would be more than happy to meet up with you for a coffee to talk through these things with you. Christianity, if true, cannot be moderately important. If it's not true, it's not important at all. If it is true, it's of infinite importance. Can I encourage you to respond this morning with faith, with belief, to experience something of this resurrection power for yourselves? I'm going to pray and then we'll sing. Lord, we thank you for the truths that we've been considering this morning. Thank you for the invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives us to come and receive from him forgiveness of our sins, a real relationship with you, a new start in this life, and a new destination in the life to come. Thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ makes all of that possible. Lord, I pray today that by your Spirit, you'd help us to see the truth, and may we experience the truth setting us free. Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ dying and rising from the dead is not only true news, but it's the best news. It's the best news dying sinners could ever hear. Lord, may something of the wonder of that news really grip us this morning to the extent that it changes our lives. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.